Primus. There you go. Just say Primus.
We just saw Primus.
Primus last week.
Oh, that could be Primus.
Yeah, it was a main.
You got a game?
Oh, yeah, we
do like
rapid. I have to agree to something before I know what it is.
It's rapid, like reassociated, yeah. Right?
The first one we received just didn't work. It was terrible.
You got to think between Kale and I.
Hello, my name is Jamie Birchall, and you are listening to and or watching our podcast called Wormhole Pinball Presents. And today I am very excited to be joined by my co-host, Donovan Wade.
That's me.
And two awesome guests all the way from Arizona, Rachel and Kale of the Electric Batcast podcast. How are you?
Great. Good. How are you?
We are so excited. He's nervous. He's a little nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Because he's been fanboy. He's your fanboy. He loves you too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So that's why you're doing this.
I'm the one you guys interact with. I'm the one who loves all your shit.
He is
very good.
Fanboy. Now, I love you.
Jamie has no idea who we are.
No, I know who you are. I'm just saying that this guy really knows who you are.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. So this is the first podcast that we've done. This is actually exciting for us because it's number 25.
What a century.
Yeah, so it's nice. What we thought, since there's four of us, that we would alternate between Donovan and I just asking you guys informal questions and just go from there, if that's okay.
Yeah.
All right. I like to start with origin stories when I interview people.
All right.
And I know you both worked at Marco. Specialties. I know it's where you both met, but when did you both discover pinball?
90s, the 90s. But I don't think I really, you know, I didn't get into it hardcore until maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Right. I remember back in the day when I was a little kid, I had a neighbor who had a pinball machine in the garage, and I wish I could remember what it was. So I remember kind of like, you know, just hitting the ball here and there. But I didn't really get into pinball until high school. So, you know, around like 91 or so, you know, when, you know, everybody got into pinball. It was like the pinball boom, you know, with Addams Family, Twilight Zone, Judge Dredd, Indiana Jones. I grew up in a rural area of South Carolina, so we didn't have much going on there, but video gambling was very huge. And so there was a local, a little shady gambling spot. And that's really where all the money came in. But, you know, the front was they would rent VHS tapes, and they had a small arcade where we'd play, you know, Neo Geo and, you know, the cool pinball machines at the time.
So how did you go from working for Marco to starting an arcade, and what year was that? Like, how do you make that jump?
Well, it overlapped. So I started, the arcade is about 5.5 years old. So
okay.
It about 5.5 years ago. There is a dive bar, Yucca Tap Room, and they wanted to have an arcade. They wanted to have pinball and all that stuff as a way to keep people drinking. So they asked around and kept trying to find somebody that would that could do this, and everybody just kept pointing them to me. They came to me, and I eventually acquiesced and said, okay. At first, I didn't want to do it because, you know, it is a ton of work, and I was already, you know, I had a full-time painting career. I didn't have any interest in switching gears, but something happened. I said yes, and then the rest is history. A couple months after that, Kale came along.
All right, Donovan, your turn.
So I don't think I've ever heard you guys explain where does the name Electric Bat Arcade come from?
I don't know if you can tell by looking, but I kind of like dark things, old school goth. And so bats are kind of natural, but pinball, it's an electric bat. It's a flipper bat.
Yeah. Oh, flipper bats. Okay. Cute. And the logo. I mean, I love the logo. You know, it's kind of like iconic. I mean, and, you know, I told Jamie when we first started, and we were, you know, kind of building things up. And like, you know, we're never going to be big until we have a logo. And he told me, just wait. We got something coming. And people are always asking us, you know, where do we get merch? You know, they can grasp onto the logo. And I think yours is just like that. I mean, I know at Houston Arcade Expo this last year, I saw tons of Electric Bat stuff there. So, Rachel, I know you're into art. Or were you in charge of that design? Or?
Yeah. I drew a couple things out one night, just real quick. And then the next day, the chef in the kitchen at the time, this, like, metal rocker guy was like, hey, Tim, which ones of these do you like best? He's like, that's the one. I mean, it was really just, it was very quick. It came in, an evening. Less, cool. Even. Yeah.
Well, why Arizona? I mean, I know, Cal, you were born in New Orleans, is that correct? And grew up in South Carolina.
You guys have done your research, huh?
I read the Wikipedias.
I'm telling you.
I'm the editor of the Wikipedia.
He's a fanboy. If you go missing, Donovan, and I'll get you all the information, because that's who's took you.
Yeah. So I was born in New Orleans, and I spent most of my entire life in the Southeast. Spent most of my childhood in New Orleans, moved to Atlanta, Charlotte, and then ended up in Columbia, South Carolina, where I actually Lexington, South Carolina, which is a
let's be real,
a suburb of Columbia. Both very small places, but anyway, went to high school there. And did a bunch of stuff after high school. Like, as soon as I got out of high school, I formed a band with some friends, and I did that for a decade. We actually toured around, and it was really fun, quite an experience. All of my other friends were going to college, right? And I'm like basically in a circus, and I survived that. And I'm glad I got it out of my system early on, because I would never want to do that. I mean, it's just living, out of a van. It's super fun when you're 18 years old. Wouldn't want to do it now. And that's the only way to make money in music. You have to tour, you know.
Me and you have both done the weird artist lifestyle. So yeah. we've certainly been on the beans and rice side of things, or the
right,
truck stop.
Right. The band, we got a lot of label interest, but we wanted to do things independently, and I'm glad we did, because nobody could tell us what to do. And after 10 years, we were just tired of it and stopped. And a lot of our bandmates have gone on to do things like work with Fish and a lot of other, like, huge rock acts. And I went a different direction. I was a personal assistant to a nationally known attorney for a while, and got to see a lot of crazy stuff. And then I didn't have a job for a second. I was hanging out at the house, living off some savings, and a friend of mine said, "Man, she was selling dumpsters, and she walked in this place and talked to a lady about a dumpster service, trash service for them, and they said they were looking for a graphic designer." And I worked as an art director. I passed up that part. I was an art director for a while at a Christian packaging place, which was kind of weird for me, but it was a lot of fun. And
wrapping paper.
I hid all kind of stuff in there. That was fun. My friend comes over to my house. He's like, "There is a place right around the corner from you that is looking for a graphic designer, and you were going to freak out." I was like, "What do they do?" And they said, "They sell pinball parts." And I was like, "That's still a thing?" Where I live, there was no place to play pinball. After the 90s, during the boom, I thought pinball was dead. And so they're like, "They want to talk to you now." So I got in the car. I went there. I met Nancy and Mark Mandeltort, and they brought me in. And it's just this nondescript warehouse, just this white warehouse. It didn't even say Marco anywhere. I walked in there, and I was like, "Holy shit, what is this?" And they said that we are the biggest pinball parts distributor and manufacturer in the world. And I was like, this is insane. I started working for them that week, and I was doing a lot of artwork, you know, a lot of stuff you can't find anymore. A lot of the stuff that they still sell at Marco. I was the one who redrew all that stuff. And then we started working closely with Stern. I got to know a lot of Stern folks. And that's where I ended up meeting Rachel.
And the question was, why Arizona? And it was because I had started the arcade, like, really right when we met. And the arcade was in Phoenix. And then we got married a couple weeks later. And then I did the back and forth thing for about a year.
Yeah.
And then it was crazy. It didn't make sense to do that anymore. So one of us had to move somewhere. So he needed to come to Arizona. I'm in Arizona because I've lived here since my parents moved me here in 1981.
Yeah. So I gladly moved out here. It's you know, I lived in a like super, super conservative area. And this was a breath of fresh air. This Phoenix is beautiful.
So you have two locations, right? You have one in Tempe and Flagstaff, and right. There's about 160 miles difference.
It's about a 2.5 hour drive. So it's like a podcast and a half.
And 8,000 feet.
Oh, and yeah, well, the elevation, yeah. We go from like 1,200 to 7,500 feet in elevation.
So I love Flagstaff. That is one of my favorite cities. I never been to Tempe or Phoenix, but I did go to the Grand Canyon a few times and we stayed at Flagstaff.
It's pretty amazing, right?
Have you been to the
canyon? Seen it in person. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yes.
So okay, just wait. Give me a 20-second
plug. Go for it. Mark, by the way, I like how you measure things in podcast land.
That's good. So during COVID, Tim and Christine, who are the owners of the Wormhole, they went to and did the 15-day Colorado River.
Oh, amazing.
Raft.
That is an experience.
Your dad's doing that.
My dad's doing that in a couple weeks from now.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing it again in 2025. That's how unbelievable it is.
Right.
You know, I did 8 days. We walked down Bright Angel and met them after they were gone 7 days. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I, because she just doesn't want to go outside in the toilet for 15 days.
Yeah.
It's called the Gruber. So,
we've been talking about it with my dad for a while about the peeing and pooping. And
you know what?
They
filled you with so much coffee. You're going to hit the Gruber at 6 a.m. It is clockwork. I'm telling you, it's no worries. And it's so amazing that 2 years later, we were able to get to Phantom Ranch. So we got a cabin at Phantom. And then that was so amazing. We fished the Colorado. I caught rainbow trout and brown trout. I mean, come on. Right.
Yeah.
And then we're going again. Now we're going to do 15. So I convinced Janine. So it's me, Janine, my wife, and then Tim and Christine. And then John Spates is going. So the whole Wormhole five of us are going to do the Colorado River again and that Grand Canyon. And
yes. So anybody listening right now, you have to stop what you're doing and plan a trip to the Grand Canyon because photos and videos do it no justice.
Yeah.
You get chills standing on the edge. I mean, it is just
amazing. It's like the difference between like seeing a movie of somebody getting sucked up by a spaceship and like being the person sucked up. I mean, it's just like it's not even comparable seeing it in images. And
it's like a spiritual place for me. To geek out is in one more minute. It's just really, really is. And that's why I keep going back. I've walked down Kaibab. My wife and Christine both did a rim to rim from North Kaibab to Bright Angel.
That's one day.
They did it. Those two. And I've walked down Kaibab. I'll never walk up Kaibab. That's ridiculous. I mean, that's stupid. But I've walked up Bright Angel. Anyway, thank you for dealing with me in the Grand Canyon.
National Park talk. Let's go.
Damn, I love that place. Okay. How many shows a year did you do at Marco?
Gosh, I think in the peak, like 16 shows a year. I mean, I was on the road all the time.
So what was your favorite show?
Oh, it depends on the year. Okay.
And I know they're different for us.
Any stand out? How about that?
TPF, Northwest, Expo, I mean, all for different reasons, and probably California Extreme and Pinagogo. I've never been to the Houston show. So caveat, I've never.
Those are all your
Houston,
favorites.
And I've never done. Shit, what's the one that that's on the East Coast and with the Amish?
Oh, that's Penn. That's in Allentown.
Yes, I've never done Allentown.
What's it called? Pennfest or something like that? That's a great one. I have a clear favorite.
Okay.
And it's Houston Arcade Expo. I mean, that is, if it has a different, there's no show that has a vibe like that. The, you know, hanging out with like Charlie and Keith all night long. That, I mean, that's a show where you get 1 hour of sleep, get up, meet up at the buffet and do it again. I mean, it is, I don't know how.
It's my favorite. Well, I'm biased. Okay.
I think that show always conflicted with whatever show I was doing on the West Coast.
They would send the party team to that show.
Yeah, I'm not
you would go.
Team.
Yeah, you would just.
16.
Yeah.
Hale's team party, and I'm the one that makes sure that everything happens. Yeah.
My second favorite show was MGC, but before it moved, back when it was in the hotel,
playing in the bathroom.
The games in the bathroom. They would take over a hotel. Right. That too, but that was such an amazing vibe, and it's not the same since they moved to a big convention center. It felt like the Houston show. It was just a bunch of people getting together and partying all night long, and we'd all end up in the basement playing Werewolf. And I remember I got a chair thrown at me one time for they thought I cheated, but I just told them I cheated to try to solve the mystery. And one guy got mad and threw a chair at me, and me and Marco kind of ducked, and everybody went about their business. But
I'm excited to play Werewolf because we have game night here at the Wormhole.
That's what you guys were talking about.
Yeah, okay. We're gonna play Werewolf. Hopefully, no one throws a chair at us.
Yeah,
bolt them down.
All right, your turn, sir.
So tell me a little bit about the scene in Phoenix. I mean, has it always been this big, or do you think you guys have, like, is it blown up since you started, you know, like, say, a few years back?
I think
what was it like maybe pre-COVID versus where you guys are now?
10 years ago, more than 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago, I joined the Arizona Pinball Players League, which was the local league. And it was capped at 30 people, and you go around, you know, a different house each month. And we, at the beginning of that, I don't think there was even 30 people in it. But the guys that started that, you know, I think that was really the seeds of what exploded later. But around that time, I also co-founded ZapCon, which is the pinball and arcade show out here. And that also helped to grow it. I think that there was just a lot of things coming together at once. I think we certainly played a part in it. One thing that I know that I did kind of by accident is after I started Electric Bat, there was a lot of guys around town that just, you know, word got back to us that they're like, well, if Rachel can do it, then we can do it, which, you know, is a bit of an insult, but...
That's just a tiny.
And some are still around, yeah, and some aren't.
Some are not. So there was a lot of like, well, man, she's doing it. She's living the dream. So like, why not me? And so a lot of places opened up fairly shortly after we did. And I know that some of that was time. You know, there was a lot of different things that went into that. But now there are so many different arcades just in the Phoenix area. You can play in league every night of the week. And some nights you have to choose if you want to be in a... There are two leagues on the same night. So there's tons of leagues, tons of events, tournaments every single day of the month. Ours are huge. Our league night is gigantic.
How many?
Between 100 and 120 people every
Tuesday.
Jiminy
Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're running... it's 5 rounds of group match play. So unless somebody has an insanely long game, it, you know, we go from like 6:30 to 9.
We do a 6-week series, and then the top 24 battle it out in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's like a Whopper farm.
It's about 85 Whoppers to the winner.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are the... And as far as we know, I mean, we've asked people and we've looked at some data. I believe we are the largest single location pinball league in the entire world. There are, I think in the Northwest, there are bigger leagues, but they're spread out for multiple locations. What was it, like yesterday or the day before, we were in the office and I walked out and I opened the door. And this is the middle of the day. There's only like two or three people playing in the arcade. And I look in there and I'm like, and I close the door. I walk back in. I was like, Rachel, Ray Day is in there playing Rick and Morty. And she
are you sure?
Yeah, she runs out there. So we talk to him and we tell him, it was our league night. We're like, hey, will you please play? And he's like, yeah, well, I might. No. He had to go do something. He asked about how many people would show up. We were like anywhere from 100 to 120. He's like, how?
Yeah.
Like on a Tuesday? We're like, yeah. That's
the thing
that's
he had to do was catch a plane.
So yeah,
it's not negotiable.
And you know, Ray Day is a very analytical person. He's like, man, that's like 80-something Whoppers, you know? Yeah, so I think this is the Whop, one of the biggest Whopper farms around.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Do things like ever, I know we're in the South here, so there's not really seasons, but do things ever, you know, fluctuate between winter and summer? I know out there you guys have a lot of big events, like you had the Final Four, and you'd mentioned spring training baseball. Like, are there any kind of times of the year where you see more traffic than...
March and October are just insane months in Phoenix. It's like everybody's doing everything all the time. So... there's just going to be a lot of things going on. And also February and November. Summertime, people don't plan much of anything big. That would be crazy. You know, it's 120 degrees. It's hard to even just like get from your house to your car. We still keep league going and people show up. But we don't do any big events. And nobody does.
Right.
Yeah. It'd be like, yeah.
That's something I really had to get used to. Because, I grew up in the South. And that's people say it's hot. That's not hot. I mean, there are like 2 months where it's like living on Mars. You have to stay indoors. It's not safe to be outside.
Same as Minnesota in January.
Well, right.
It's the opposite.
Yeah.
Sure. It's pretty hot here. Yeah. It's pretty humid too. It'll punch you right in the mouth.
Yeah,
we have no humidity. Yeah, it is different.
And like, people think that that's better, but at night, it, like when the sun is not out, 110 out here is totally fine and pleasant. Mm-hmm. But 83 degrees in intense sun out here, like you are starting to get like it hurts. It physically hurts. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's all different, and people love it when I talk about the weather.
No,
you ever been in a sauna?
Yeah.
So I know you'd mentioned on one of your recent podcasts that your kind of capacity in Tempe. What is your max machines you guys can put in there?
Well, right now we have just pinball. We have some other, we have rhythm games and some stand-up arcades, and because of the layout of the arcade, it would be really difficult to switch those to pins just because of the width of those rooms. I think there are 62 pinball machines on the floor right now. Mm. And yeah, we could mess around with some configurations, but that's really about the max.
And Flagstaff, how many there?
Flagstaff, there's like a dozen or so. That's a much smaller... The Flagstaff location is more like location pinball in a bar. The Tempe location is like a self-enclosed, it's an arcade. It's that is a special like place. You go there and you know that you are in Electric Bat.
But we are running into an issue with, I mean, there's so many manufacturers making games. We don't usually do this, but there's going to be a point where we're going to have to sell some machines to make room, that's going to be tough.
I don't know that that's going to happen. I might just start soldiering, like getting some racks.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Well, speaking of those non-pins, I mean, you'd mentioned rhythm games, but what is the deal with those? I tried to play one the other day.
Then you just start like, They're hard. I cannot do them. They're like a younger person's game or someone more coordinated than myself. Our friend Chewy runs all of they're all Japanese rhythm games. And I'm always just amazed when I see people playing them. I don't know how your hand-eye coordination, like I can't even see as quickly as what they're like seeing and pushing the buttons or, you know, depending on the game, whatever they're doing. I don't know how you do it, but it's impressive. It's cool to watch. And it's funny to try if you're not good at it. then it's really fun to get a group of like four of you that just really suck and, you know, make fools of yourself.
And it's so interesting to have that in the Electric Bat also, because that scene is so very different than the pinballers. And the rhythm kids have come in and tried to get in the pinball and like one or
some crossover.
There's a few, but most of them are just die hard, just to slamming quarters into these Japanese machines.
Yeah.
Who does the work? Is there a lot of maintenance that goes into those? I mean, I know you guys take a lot of your games. Do you have other techs that come in and work on the pinball machines, or other techs that need to work on those things?
So the rhythm games, Chewy handles all of the tech side of that. I mean, if it's coin jams and stuff, I'll take care of it. Or simple, like, you know, if it's something physical that I can, you know, replace a button, something like that, that's obvious. But a lot of it is like server side issues and software based stuff, and I have no idea what's going on there, and I'm not any of the account holders for any of that stuff. So he handles it, and he's very good and very on top of stuff, so we're super grateful for him. For the pins, Kale and I are the main techs for it, and then our friend Mark, who is one of the co-founders of that original Arizona Pinball League that I joined a long time ago. So we've been friends for a while. He's got some machines in Electric Bat, and he helps tech. And then also our friend John Chappell, who is a brilliant, brilliant tech. And he comes in. He's our Wednesday relief. So on Wednesdays, like, we get to be talking to you right now because he's there, you know, making things work. Yeah,
trying to get Looney Tunes to work.
Okay. That's gonna take.
We're working the bugs out.
Oh, nice!
It is a fun shooter, though. Whenever it gets all smoothed out, it'll be. I will feel good about it.
All right, my turn. Right, I had a Moto on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. Do you guys still keep in touch with the friends that you made at Margo?
100%. Yeah, she was out not too long ago.
So I have a funny story about why Emoto is working at Marco. What show were we at?
Nashville.
We were in Nashville.
Which was the same show that you and I met at in person.
Right.
This was
right.
A magical weekend.
Yes. So
November 2018.
Yeah. I had a room all to myself, and I talked Emoto into coming to the show, and I was like, there's an extra bed. You can stay in my room. And so, you know, we did our thing, you know, did the booth and all that good stuff. And she was just there to hang out. But Paul Mandeltort at Marco Specialties hired a video guy, an audio visual guy, to document some of the stuff that was going on and to interview his dad, Mark. And that's Emoto's background. So I was like, "Would you please like come back to South Carolina with us and help us with this project? Like, I'll get you some money for it and all this stuff." And so I ended up kidnapping her, bringing her to Marco Specialties, and she's been there ever since. And she worked on the documentary with those folks, and we had a great time. I remember it was you guys all stayed at my house.
Yeah,
it was you, Emoto, and Antoinette.
Yep.
All and we spent the weekend together, and that's where I got to know Rachel.
Yeah.
That is just bringing the world together.
Right.
Yeah, that and Emoto and I had already known each other previously, so Emoto and I were already friends, and Kale and Emoto were already friends. So, it all just worked out. That was such a cool time.
All right, Donovan, your turn.
All right. So I know you guys from social media mostly. I mean, when I started our Instagram, you guys were obviously one of the first people we followed. I remember we were doing one of our first streams, and there was a guy in the chat, and he was like, "Oh, you know, I love this place. I wish I lived closer to you guys, blah, blah." And I was like, "Well, where do you live?" He's like, "I just moved to Phoenix." I was like, "You need to go to Electric Bat." So I know I've been following you guys for a while. But social media, what are your feelings on it? Do you think it's fun? I mean, do you guys post a lot of stuff, or is it just kind of a necessary evil to get your name out there? And
no, that's all me.
It is 99.5% Kale. And I, if you ask us each of that question, it's very different answers. I I'm not as much of a people person as Kale. I mean, I like people fine, but I'm just not outgoing in the same way that he is. My relationship with social media is more like, I know I'm supposed to do this. And sometimes it's fun. I'm talking about like my personal stuff, but I tend to be more like keep to myself.
Mm.
And then when Kale came along, man, that is the greatest thing that ever happened to
thank you.
To me and Electric Bat.
No, I absolutely love it. And I think to be a good social media person, you have to love it. Just like with pinball, if you want to open an arcade, you have to be an enthusiast. You know, I think we've all seen those arcades where it's just some rich guy who bought a bunch of LEs and, you know, and they play like shit because he's not an enthusiast. But I love social media. I love interacting with people. I want to make people laugh. I want to entertain people, and I've been that way my whole life. I was the class clown. I was the one that they had to put out in the hallway on my desk, you know, and
I was out there with you, man.
Yeah.
I was out there with you.
Sure. Right. And I started doing this on MySpace to promote my band. So it was like, I've been doing this for a long, long time. I mean, it's like kind of one of the pioneers of social media marketing. You know, I was the first one with Photoshop and doing, you know, crazy, photos and videos on MySpace. And now I get to do it here and, you know, blow this stuff up and just show people what fun it is to hang out at a pinball arcade, you know, and I promote all kinds of arcades. I just want people to go out and find their local pinball arcade and then play the shit out of these things.
Yeah.
Does it surprise you sometimes the things you post, what people like and what people don't like? Because I know you had Jen Roop on a few months ago, and mm-hmm. she mentioned something that really hit home with me. And I'll come up with these posts that are elaborate, and it's got edits, and it's got music, and this and that. I think it's not them. And then I'll post a video of somebody who's dancing while playing a game. And it's like, you know, like.
Yes.
Like, all right.
Yeah, it's usually the quick and dirty, dumbest thing you can think of ends up being the most popular thing. And you're like, you know, something you worked a week on. Yeah. And it's like 10 likes, you know, it's like, what the hell?
Well, I can't look at it anymore.
So same thing with anything, though. I imagine the same thing happens in music. I know it happens in art. There's paintings that I spent like 1,000 hours on and, you know, people appreciate it like, oh, that's really great or whatever. But, you know, again, this logo that I kind of like just drew without even thinking about it. There's like dozens of people that have it tattooed on them. And, you know, I see shirts everywhere. And I'm like, man, this is like, I didn't even think about this. Like, it was just, you know, just, and I think that, you know, it just came out. And of all of the things, you know, of the career, that's the most notable. And wow,
and does cross over to other areas. About the podcast, I mean, like I said, I followed you on social media, and I think, you know, the first time I probably heard you guys was on Jason's podcast,
mm-hmm.
You know, before you guys started coming out with your, what was the impetus to, you know, kind of branch out on your own?
Well, Jason took a break, and it was great. We, you know, we hooked up with Jason, and people really enjoyed the view of the pinball operator. Nobody was doing it. And so once Jason was like, you know, I'm going to take a break, guys. So we bought some equipment. Well, actually, we already had some equipment from doing the stuff with Jason. And we decided to do our own thing. We did one episode. Rachel wasn't even really into it. I set everything up and she had the day off. And I was like,
it was my birthday.
It was your birthday. And I said, sit down right here. And I'm going to ask you some questions. And I already had questions from viewers from the Pinball Party podcast. So I just used those and people really liked it. And the best thing is so many people reached out and said they were really sick and tired of pinball news, pinball opinions, and pinball rumors. And we were giving them the real nuts and bolts of it.
Yeah.
And luckily, you know, after we did it, the Wedgehead podcast guys doing it, and that's great. Go check them out. And then, and you guys are doing a similar thing. It's not just like rumors.
It's stuff we know
about.
You
guys are getting to know folks in the industry. And I love the way Pinball Media is headed.
I do too. I wish it paid a little more. I love the idea of the earnings report. When did you come up with that?
Was I doing that on Pinball Party? I think I was.
You were, yeah.
Jason just asked. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I came up with it or if he asked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just seemed, I keep track of all kinds of data anyway. I just love data. So it's just a matter of looking it up, sharing it with everybody. And it's been really fun to publicly share that. We had some people in the arcade yesterday that came up to me and were talking about how, you know, they enjoy the podcast and really love the earnings report. And it was a couple, and they listened to it together, and are always like, oh yeah, those top ones, those are the ones that we go in, and like, we're the ones affecting the earnings report. And it's funny to see how people feel about it too, whether or not they're surprised or makes sense,
yeah,
or how Godzilla could always stay at the top.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun to talk to operators to see how similar or different their earnings are.
We'll talk about that later, because I have John's earning report, because he's got 21 machines. And so I said, hey, give me your earning report. He goes, well, give me your earning report. You know what I'm talking about.
And, you know, and I think that is important to keep in mind, you know, being an operator. I know we had Nick Lane down here a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I was like bouncing ideas for games off.
That was another fanboy for you.
Boy.
I love Nick Lane.
Yeah, it's a good guy.
I wish they did their podcast more often. It's like once a month.
It's like once a month. What are they doing?
I'm waiting for the new one. Come on, Nick, let's go.
Come on, bro. Let's go.
But it was
that is a good podcast. I love the way Nick just, he doesn't hold anything back.
Well,
here's my question. Here's my question. Okay.
You're two peas in the pot.
I have a tough time mentioning pinball companies. Okay. Especially like we got a new inbox game. Didn't work properly. All right. You guys do not have that problem. Has a manufacturer reached out to you directly and said, hey, I heard your comments?
Yes.
Oh, big time.
Yes.
Yeah. And we talked about it on the podcast. I mean, American Pinball. I don't even know how they're still around, but
can I say that the comments of Rachel and Kale do not necessarily reflect those of the wormhole,
and I will make that known in a minute.
Yeah,
okay. Continue. All right, my bad.
So we got a Galactic Tank Force. The first one we received just didn't work. It was terrible.
You got to think, between Kale and I and doing all of the show circuit, we have personally unboxed hundreds.
Yeah.
Thousands.
In one night at MGC, it was an 18-wheeler full of NIB Stern Iron Maidens. We did Iron Maidens one time. We bought an 18-wheeler full of them.
Regardless, we've done this a lot.
No, we did it with Black Knight too. Yeah.
So we've seen occasionally games. Kind of, there's issues with some games out of the box. I mean, it's just it just happens. Most of them are very fixable quickly with some parts.
Mm-hmm.
This Galactic Tank Force was unlike anything either of us had ever seen. I mean, it was unplayable in so many different facets. I mean, it was just like the lemon of all lemons. And
we've played homebrews more reliable than this thing.
Homebrews, but yes. I mean, you get the point. They reached out to us, and we ended up getting a replacement game, because this one. And you've heard other people talk about Galactic Tank Force.
We reached out to them to try to get it fixed.
Yes.
And they refused.
Many times.
And then David Fix called us after we called him twice and he ghosted us. He said, my friends have been listening to your podcast and heard about your terrible ordeal. I want to fix it. I'm shipping you a brand new machine. Kudos. I very rarely will a manufacturer do that at all. We didn't even have to return the other one. It's like, here, we're sending you this.
Well, the distributor returned it. We didn't have...
Well, exactly. They didn't let us keep it, but it wasn't like, hey, we're going to wait until we get the other one. They were just like, here, take it. And now that's the one we have.
I'm going to tell you our Galactic Tank Force story, okay?
Sure. Yeah.
And so we get, Tim and Christine get the signature edition number 4 comes in. And we like unboxings. We don't do it like you guys do all the time. So we do an unboxing. And Donovan's got, you know, his, we're kicking ass on this unboxing. And which we go to put the turret head on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We go to put the turret head on. We can't get it on. We can't get it on because they gave us the wrong screws. Right? Okay. We're not putting the turret on tonight. Mm-hmm. No big deal. Let's put the, what are the side things on?
Little.
Whatever. The
little threads. Pages.
Threads. Okay. Let's put the threads on. So we get the instructions. It was as if someone printed them off on their home computer and they lost the color and it's just like the pink. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's like a mimeograph.
And so I'm like, all right, how do you put this together? Well, thank God we had some engineers here that night. One of them works for another baseball company. And we got it together. We got it to work. So we texted David Fix. Christine texted David Fix. She sent us the wrong screws. FedEx, one day, we got the screws, mm-hmm. right? And then we had a lot of issues. Like we couldn't, the virtual locks weren't working. So we can't, every game that comes through the wormhole, guys, we have to, it has to play in tournaments because that's all we're open for. Mm-hmm. And for rentals, that's it. That's our business model. So it has to be banged on in tournaments and it can't be banged on when the virtual locks aren't working and the lab shot's not working.
It's the same for you guys. You're on location.
Yeah, same thing,
work.
Right? It's got to work.
Right. Not in your house. Right. Yeah.
So we were at TPF and we saw David Fix and he said, look, I know you're having these issues. We're thank you for working with us. The new code update, 24.8, whatever, is going to fix all these. And God bless him. It does. And, you know, we're banging the hell out of it. I put 4 games on before I got here just to make sure.
Everything's good?
Everything's really good.
So it sounds like you think yours was more of a manufacturing issue, like something was just put together wrong on this?
The first one, yes. The second one, the issues, we had the same issues that everybody had, right? You had to put it on virtual locks because the physical locks did not work.
Right.
And we updated to the new code as well, and so now we have physical locks. It's still buggy. Our games are on for 20 to 22 hours a day. So that's a lot to ask of some electronics. And so I think that's the origin of a lot of the issues that we see that other people don't see. It does occasionally lock up. Yesterday I had to, it was kind of freaking out and I had to restart it and refund some people. But they did get many of the locks work now, I guess we'll say that. I don't know how much more. We don't use it in tournaments. It's still not reliable enough for me to use in tournaments, but I think it's such a cool looking game and I really enjoy the theme and I just want it to work so bad.
Things are work of art.
It's paint. It's got little paint everywhere and it's got the signatures and it really is a beautiful machine. And we, you know, Tim is a, and you, I mean, you love Oktoberfest. And another thing about October, we have an Oktoberfest, the board popped out.
Yeah.
Maurice, I know Maurice is getting a lot of crap from some other podcasts. Maurice sent a new Oktoberfest board for us.
Nice.
You know, so John's going to put that out on location. So, yeah, it is what, you know, God bless him.
Yeah, yeah. We rolled the dice on Galactic Tank Force. Actually, I mean, we were actually really excited about it because our last American pinball machine was Hot Wheels. And that was one of the most reliable machines we've ever had. But it was built by a completely different team. I don't think anybody from the company is still there from Hot Wheels. Hot Wheels was so reliable when the, what was the resort that called us?
The Phoenician.
The Phoenician called us because there was a VIP staying there from the NFL and they wanted a pinball machine. And I didn't feel like moving it. So I gave him some outrageous price. I was like, yeah, I'll do it for $800 a month. And they were like, can you come today? And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, now you're gone.
No. So we took Hot Wheels. Hot Wheels down there for 5 months.
We took Hot Wheels that had it on free play. Kids were, you know, beating the shit out of this thing. Never an issue. All I had to do was rebuild the flippers. But the thing just ran. It was a tank.
Clean it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to be a pinball consultant. That's my next job.
Oh, geez, I heard this.
You heard this the other day? Don't you think I could do it? I go to these companies and I go, all right, here's the deal. American Pinball, you have a guy named Steve Bowden that works there, yes. Right? I know Steve Bowden. I've met Steve Bowden. I've called tournaments next to Steve Bowden. This guy's brilliant.
Yes.
Okay? Let's unleash Steve Bowden in American Pinball, and let's let Steve Bowden design a game. I don't know. That's my personal opinion. And for that, you owe me $350 an hour.
Right, right.
Yeah, we had the same conversation on our last podcast because of the rumors that they have the Masters of the Universe.
My, yeah, I heard you had a panic attack.
Yes. Not just, I mean, yes, a lot.
No, it's okay. So, you know, I was, like, we were listening. I was driving back from Mineola with John Spates, and we were listening to it, and John paused it and goes, oh, she's not happy. I can wait to even listen to this.
Yeah, still not happy.
Rachel really does want to help them. She even reached out to them when we got Galactic Tame Force and was like, oh, man, these guys need some help. And, you know, I mean, they're not going to take it. But you're right. I mean, your point, it is the weirdest thing. We have spent a lot of time with Steve Bowden. He knows what's good and he knows what's bad. And it's weird that he doesn't have more input there.
They need a Chris Turner.
Chris Turner is amazing.
And so I just interviewed Chris, and this is another shameless plug for me. But you know what Chris does? Chris comes up and he says, hey, this is a whiteboard.
Whitewood.
It's a whitewood. Whatever.
Okay.
Here, give us advice. Hammer
and he
me.
He takes it.
And he takes it. I can't take when someone says, Jamie, shut up. You talk too much on the podcast.
No.
I'm done for 2 weeks.
We met him at Expo when he first showed off. And I'm sorry, the
Ninja Scroll.
What's the ninja?
Ninja
name?
Eclipse.
Ninja Eclipse, the one without the coin door. And we talked to him for a while, and we were both impressed. Like, he really wanted our input, and we're like, no coin door is a deal breaker. And I can't remember what else we said, but he really did all the stuff. I mean, he was like, okay, I'm going back to the drawing board and fixing these issues.
It's important to be able to check your ego. I think something, I don't know about Chris Turner, like personally, but I imagine just from other people that I know that he has something else that he does really well and can take pride in. So he's a lot more, you know, people that can do that are more receptive to, like, here's this other thing I'm interested in. And it doesn't matter if people tell me, this is not good, because I know I'm really, really good at this other thing. So this is not hurting my ego. This is like really helping me become a better whatever I'm trying to do.
Well said.
I want to play a little game with you guys if you wanted. Kind of going back to, I loved when, you know, Jason on the Pinball Party podcast, he kind of does some fun stuff. So are you guys game?
I have to agree to something before I know what it is.
It's rapid, like free association, right? We're just going to, Donovan's going to ask you a question. Go ahead, ask the first question and then.
So just imagine you're at your psychiatrist office. You just done your Rorschach test. Mm-hmm. It's just free association. I'm going to throw a couple things out. You tell me whatever comes to mind first. It can be one word. You can elaborate. I don't care. We'll go with it. All right. You ready?
No.
This is great. Let's go.
Elwin or Papadou?
Elwin.
Oh, yeah. Elwin.
Yeah, I'm Papadou.
I don't know. Me too.
Yeah, I am. All right. Harder pin to work on, Doctor Who or Whitewater?
It's
got to be Doctor Who. Just get under that elevator.
Yeah, Whitewater's going to take you forever, but Doctor Who's going to take your hand off.
All right.
All right. So this isn't the best band pinball machine. I want to know, what is the best band that has a pinball machine?
Well, we have very different musical tastes.
All right, good.
I'm curious to see what you will say.
I mean, I have to say Rush. I mean,
Maiden.
You think Maiden?
Maiden.
Right. I mean, I like Maiden too, but like technically, I mean, Rush.
We don't care about
beat Rush.
Technically is not what pays the bills.
Okay.
It's like, does it, you know, does it get you going?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, Maiden, mine was worst band to get their own pinball machine.
Primus. There you go. Just say Primus.
We just saw Primus.
We just saw Primus last week.
Oh, I'm not going to see Primus.
Yeah, it was a Maynard from Tool. It was his 60th birthday party. And
oh,
it was
cool.
Pussifer, Primus, and A Perfect Circle. Yeah. Amazing show.
It was an incredible show.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I shit all over him.
Oh.
All right, your turn.
Oh, they didn't answer.
Oh, yeah. What's your
word? I don't know. Aerosmith? I don't know.
Oh, that's
for me, my least liked is Aerosmith.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a winner.
All right. Worst summer, Phoenix, Arizona, or New Orleans, Louisiana?
Phoenix.
Yeah, it's got to be Phoenix. Because like, you can't even go outside. At least, you know, when it's 100 degrees in New Orleans, even though it's 100% humidity, at least you can go outside. Yeah.
Best pinball show. You're not going to hurt feelings. Don't worry.
I'll say mine's Houston.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Way to go, Keith Christensen.
I'll say ZapCon because that's where all my friends are.
That's why I was going to eliminate
that. That's
good. That's a good one.
Better give a plug.
All right. Action button, yay or nay?
Hey, yay.
Love it. Yeah.
Nah, I can't do it. I say no on that action button. Yeah. I'm so bad at pinball. All right, what Coen's Brothers movie would make a good pinball machine?
Besides Lebowski.
Did they do Raising Arizona?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, circle. Circle.
That's a done deal, right? That would hurt. That would
unless
hurt
you
my...
think a circle is a funny shape.
That would hurt my bank account. Janine loves that movie.
All right.
Yeah.
Number scoop to hit when you have to. Is it the scoop on World Cup Soccer or Metallica?
Metallica.
I can hit Metallica pretty easy. I think it's World Cup. And we just got a World Cup, so I'm glad you're bringing it up. I know it's Jamie's favorite pin.
Oh, boy. Do I love World Cup soccer?
It's a cool one.
I love, and I am a big Papa Duke fan, but she is not, so she won't let me. I've wanted a Circus Voltaire forever. She won't let me get it. I've kind of warmed her up to Tales of Arabian Nights.
Well, Tales of Arabian Nights is cool, but it's kind of it's not a fun game to play after a very short amount of time.
So we have a world, we have a dog soccer, and I'm enjoying it.
Oh,
dog soccer's great.
All right. Oh, yeah. Sun Devils or Wildcats?
Sun Devils. I went to, that's ASU.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
That's where I went to college. It's down the street from our arcade.
You're foosball or bubble hockey?
Bubble hockey.
Bubble hockey.
Thank you.
Oh, bubble hockey.
So our bubble hockey, I rethemed. I took all the little guys and one side I made the Misfits. So they're all painted like the Misfits and the band, not like just ragtag people. And the other team is the Zombies. So I like, you know, Dremeled off their heads and, you know, painted them all bloody and gory. So our bubble hockey is cool.
I like the USA versus USSR back in the day.
Yeah.
Canada.
That's a cool one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get that down here. Good thing you didn't retheme that to Arizona Coyotes. Sorry about that.
A game that you've.
Yeah.
What's a game that you've never had at the bat that you'd love to have?
Vikings.
Viking. Okay.
I want a Black Fever.
And he likes those.
Yeah, he likes it. Yeah. Did you see the 22nd? Did you see the information I sent you guys of Tim's?
Yes. The link to his collection. Yeah.
Yeah. Did
amazing.
Did you look at any of those?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I can't. We'll geek about that. Brian, my editor, you have to cut that part out.
No.
Okay. So more problematic He-Man character. Fisto or Tongue Lasher?
I mean, Fisto is really, that's,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, He-Man is like,
It's also Ram Man.
And he was,
I had him. I actually had that figure.
Like bounces.
All right, last one. Best earning non-pinball machine.
Suck It Up. In other news of things you'd...
It's our redemption machine. It's called a Suck It Up because instead of a claw, it has a vacuum. And so it's like a little suction cup. And we put all kind of stuff. We put, what can we call those things? Water pipes?
Yeah. Fancy vases. And fancy smoking vases.
Used to have sex toys in there, but we stopped that.
Yeah.
This is the best place on the planet. I had to get there. This is a no brainer for me.
You need some sex toys?
No, I need to go
there's
there.
Closer places to get those, I'm sure. Although I have seen the laws about Texas.
Well, you're coming down here to see the Grand Canyon.
I'm definitely going to the canyon. So I'm definitely going to go there.
And please come on a Tuesday night because League Night will blow your mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're a 3-hour side trip from the Grand Canyon.
That's no brainer. That's a no brainer for us. We'll definitely go. All right. Thank you for playing that. That was fun. Guys. Appreciate that.
Good job.
Last thing, John Spates is one of our founders of the Wormhole, and he's got 21 out. He wanted me to give you his three biggest earners. All right. Cool. So he's got Jaws Pro is number one. Godzilla Premium is number two. But the surprise here is Rick and Morty. And Rick and Morty beat out Stranger Things, Star Wars, Deadpool.
Wow.
And Valhalla, believe it or not.
Well, I do believe that. Mm. Yeah, our Rick and Morty.
I was being a joke about the Godzilla. I threw that at you, and you didn't catch it.
I
you caught it. He did that.
Well, I was like, wow. I don't see how that is, but okay. Yeah.
Rick and Morty casuals love it, and it's so funny. Like the call outs are so good on that.
It prints money for him. He really, really likes it. They're actively looking for new bars and restaurants to put pins in. Any advice you can give them while we're winding down?
A place where the bars and restaurants, the staff there, a place where those people also want it, because the support of your staff and your team that isn't necessarily you fixing things is going to be the most important people to have on your side to help make it successful.
Yep.
That is very, very, very good
and
advice.
Yeah. Adequate power also. Check that.
Yeah.
Last thing you want is throwing breakers all over the place.
Right.
That's no bueno. Please follow Electric Backcast on all socials and check out their latest episode number 14. And you posted that just last week. You both have an absolute open invite to Houston. And I can't wait to go to Arizona and see you both and play. Please mark your calendars for the 2026 opening of the museum. It will have 125 machines there. Very rare. It'll be about 13,000 square feet.
Wow. Awesome. That'll be great.
Awesome.
Cool. Can't wait.
I think it's going to be really, really awesome. So Kale and Rachel, thank you so much. Continued success to you both. What a pleasure. This was great.
Awesome.
Are you okay?
Did you do good? Bats were in the house.
You all right?
No, I'm good.
I was worried about him today. He got stuck at the train, so he was running a little late. So he came in all flustered. I'm like, listen, I know they're going to be cool. Don't worry about it.
Thank you so much for having us. This has been awesome.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. I really appreciate it. Thank you for all you do for promoting pinball. And we really appreciate that. And we really appreciate your time. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, that was fun. What do you think?
Jeez. Great guys there. Great guys.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Oh, no. We're from New York. We say guys.
Hey, guys. Yeah.
We can't help it. We don't mean anything by it.
I do say y'all sometimes now, though.
Get out of
my
here.
My parents don't like it.
You say y'all?
I do.
I say yous.
You guys?
I don't say the guys. So what are y'all doing? What are you doing?
No, they were great. I mean, they're very open. They're very honest. They're very candid. They're very fun. They're just...
Every podcast we do, I tell them I'm going. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to Germany and I'm going to...
you actually are going to Arizona.
But I really am going to Arizona anyway, because I'm going to go on the Grand Canyon. So we're going to definitely put Electric Bat on the... We're going to go in 2025, but that would be something I'd love to go on a Tuesday.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. I mean, that would be an absolute blast.
Even better any day, just to hang. It seemed like
I just want to hang with them.
A nice vibe.
What do you think of my little script? Thanks.
I like it.
The first time you saw the script.
Get me on track there. Yeah. Well, I got off script a couple times, but sometimes you gotta do that.
You did good.
Yeah. I like it.
So when are we taking
that American pinball thing and putting it behind a paywall and putting it on Patreon. When are we doing a Patreon thing?
Let's do it now.
You want to do a Patreon?
Yeah, let's set it up.
No. Not doing a Patreon. But I'm not disparaging anyone that does a Patreon. Kaneda can do a Patreon, okay? He's got, you know, a lot of money doing it, and he posts a lot, and God bless him. And I don't disparage anyone that does it. He did something that we're never going to do.
And some people kind of do this for a living. I mean, and if you kind of do it for a living, you got to make some money somehow. I mean,
I'd like to pay for the ZV1s.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
That would be nice.
What's in the next podcast? Two successful women in pinball.
Okay.
I'm figuring out their schedules. I might go back to back.
Okay.
So 26 and 27, but I don't know who's going to be 26 and 27, so I can't announce that yet.
Oh, they're not coming on together.
They're not coming on together.
Okay.
Did I not explain that very well? Not really. I didn't. But this is number 25.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? You believe we went 25?
Quick. They go by quick.
So please like, subscribe, all that crap. You do a lot of work. Let's get some likes.
You do a lot of work.
Yeah.
Let's pat each other back a little more.
How about Discord? If you're interested in joining our Discord, hit us up at wormholepinball@gmail.com, and I will send you a Discord invite. Just change your name so we know who you are.
Okay.
Okay. You know, I don't want to have a Frogger. I don't know who the Frogger is, but, you know.
I know who Frogger is.
I do, too. That's all she wrote, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate that.
Yeah,
and we've got two more podcasts. And what's coming up stream-wise? We've got the 4X. Monday.
We got so did we decide?
I think it's Guns N' Roses, but it might be Rick and Morty.
I don't know, yeah.
So we'll figure that out.
Okay.
Of what we're going to stream next Monday. And then the 4X is coming up next, the first May, whatever, the first Saturday in May.
Yeah.
That's all she wrote.
And our Toy Story we did the other day, that'll be up in a day or two. So if you
This will be up Friday, the 26th.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you, Donovan. Appreciate it. That was great. Thank you to Rachel and Kale. That was awesome as well.